Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
To learn more about the Hawaiian Reforestation Initiative, call 1-877-707-TREE or visit legacytrees.org.
Situated in the heart of the Caribbean, the tropical island paradise of Montserrat, a British overseas territory, is just 12 miles wide by 7 miles long, with Antigua 30 miles away. A visit to Montserrat is a truly unique Caribbean experience. It's like stepping back in time to a long-vanished era of Caribbean life in the 1920s or 30s. When people didn't lock their doors, when crime was an anomaly, and gated, guarded, mega-resort destinations such as Sandals were not even imaginable. This is a place where the pace is slow and easy, the smiles abundant, and the hotel experience is typically family-run inns and B&Bs. The island was dealt a 1-2 punch when Hurricane Hugo thrashed the island back in 1989, followed in 1995 when Montserrat Soufre volcano erupted. The subsequent pyroclastic flow buried the historic town of Plymouth, displacing more than 5,000 people. The town and the entire southern half of the island was abandoned, but today the island is in the midst of an amazing rebirth and renaissance. An entirely new town on the northern end of the island has been laid out. Plans have been drawn, stakes are set, and right now, bulldozers are leveling the ground for the new town center, a waterfront resort hotel complex, hillside condominiums and townhouses, a state-of-the-art protected port, yachting center, and more. The enchanting island's rebirth includes harnessing the volcano's geothermal vents for power generation, and ultimately, the hope of supplying other islands with energy. Plans are in place to lead tours to the modern-day Pompeii town of Plymouth. Treks are available to visit the Scientific Volcanic Observatory. There are rainforest hikes, birding adventures, scuba diving, kayaking, and other nature-oriented adventures that make Montserrat an off-the-beaten-track, must-do destination. Under the direction of the Montserrat Development Corporation, a master plan has been developed to ensure architectural harmony throughout the vibrant new town, along with an enticing targeted trade and investment initiative to attract savvy international investors. I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me on the lush tropical isle of Montserrat for part one of a three-part Journey of Discovery as we visit with Ayesha de Coutu Sammy, Director of Trade and Investment Promotion, David Crichton, Economic Development Consultant, Ivan Brown, Chief Executive of the Montserrat Development Corporation, and Carol Osborne, longtime Montserratian and owner of the legendary Ovestan House Restaurant and Inn. And then we'll visit with the Honorable Reuben T. Meade, Premier of Montserrat.
My name is Ayesha de Coutu Sammy. I'm the Director of Trade and Investment Promotion at the Montserrat Development Corporation.
My name is David Crichton, and I'm here at Montserrat Development Corporation to advise on new visitor products and attractions.
There are many people, they've heard of the name Montserrat, but they're not even sure where it is.
Montserrat is a small island. It's located about 15 miles south of Antigua and 15 to 20 miles west of St. Kitts and Nevis. It's right at the heart of the Caribbean. It's a crossroads for yacht industry, the cruise ships,
Let's talk for a moment about your visions and your plans for your resort development, for the hotel development that you have right here in the main town. Alicia, do you want to talk about that?
The development for the hotel is pretty much straightforward. We're looking at an 80 to 100-room hotel with potential villas around it, if not a 130 to 150-key hotel. The location, obviously, is something that, you know, people wonder if we should put it close to the beach, if we should put it over the hill. And, of course, because Montserrat is what we consider a clean slate and give investors the opportunity to really come here and do something different, see something different, and invest in something different, we don't hold what we have in our vision as, you know, the only option available. Montserrat has a lot of options when it comes to that. Obviously, where we put it, because, you know, a lot of people will say in a Caribbean island, people want a resort by the beach. But if we are focusing on ecotourism, or if we are focusing on something in the hills, or looking for that special traveler, or that investor is looking for something like that, there are options, other options available. I mean, what we have right now with regards to our master plan is what we discussed. So that is the main option right now.
But yeah, you're open to like a mountain eco lodge development as well.
Yes, that is something that we've discussed. David is really big on eco lodges and tourism. We know Dominic is doing it quite well. And because of our rainforest, the pristine, the greenery that we have here, it's something that we could definitely do here at Montserrat as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about economic development. Again, this seems to me to be the best win-win as far as creating jobs and creating opportunities for people not only to stay, but to maybe come and relocate.
The main driver will be tourism. Mm-hmm. That's the sector we're focusing on. It will be tourism of a particular kind. It'll be for the more adventuresome, discerning traveler. But as we know, they're still going to want to be accommodated and fed and entertained. But it will be driven by tourism. We're going to be a tourism-driven economy, but with opportunities for light manufacturing and IT-based services along the way. We're going to use this volcano in a different way. It almost wiped out this island. But there's a legacy there which we can use to help regenerate. But it's a source of energy. There's geothermal potential, which has been explored, which has been proven to be feasible. All the indications are that this is a viable proposition which will at least meet the island's current and expected needs, and which in time could be exported to other islands. We have a huge resource of geothermal power here.
So that's exciting. That's really
exciting. This whole concept of using such a destructive force and turning that on its head and using it to literally drive the island and support tourism and manufacturing is a fascinating concept, mm-hmm. You know, to take that opportunity out of such adversity.
Tell us about some of the things that you're most excited about that you're working on, development-wise.
Everything is exciting here. I tell people all the time, you know, you're in a unique opportunity here in Montserrat to basically see a new capital city be rebuilt. And being part of that is excitement enough. Obviously, seeing things happening, so seeing the grounds being prepared, seeing investors coming in, seeing and hearing and knowing that people are aware that life still exists here is very exciting. I mean, over the last couple of months, we've had a lot of publicity in terms of people realizing that Montserrat does exist, that life is still going on here and there are opportunities available. Outside of the development, something else that we're working on is regenerating the private sector. As you asked previously, you know, how does the economy here, how are they going to function moving forward? And part of our mandate is to regenerate the private sector, helping them to get their businesses not only to expand, but helping them to improve their businesses. And that is one of the reasons that the Montserrat Development Corporation was found. We have a facility in place, it's called the Business Financing Facility, where we offer loans to potential entrepreneurs or investors and small businesses. Because outside of tourism, we understand that should should the population grow, should people come here, there will be a need for a ton of other auxiliary businesses, and Montserratians have the opportunity to start those businesses. And
give me a list of some of the cooler ones that you would think would be neat to have somebody start a new business.
Simple things that, you know, you take for granted, other places, dry cleaning, different restaurants, other grocery stores, greener options, healthier options in terms of food. There are so many opportunities available here. When I say Montserrat is literally a clean slate and an opportunity for entrepreneurs, a movie theater, things for the youth to do. We talk about the population getting smaller and we want to expand that. And part of that is getting our young people to stay and understand that there are opportunities here and there's no need for them to leave as soon as they get out of high school, which is one of the reasons we started the Young Enterprise Program as well, mm-hmm. within the schools, getting people into entrepreneurial ideas and knowing that government is not the only option, but starting your own business, working in a business, and we provide those opportunities here as well.
So there's some very strong funding and incentives for somebody to start a business here from an economic basis, right?
Yeah, we have put together an incentive package which we know matches anything else available in the region. Tax breaks, customs exemptions, help with infrastructure. These are all incentives which we need to put on the table, being realistic to investors. They generally don't lead the investment decision, but they help tip it over the edge if someone's looking at alternative locations.
Let's talk a little bit more in specifics about a potential targeted guy that wants to come and is willing to build the hotel, the resort.
Let me tell one story that might illustrate that. Okay. We were talking last year to a hotel investor, a very hard-nosed, pretty ruthless fund manager, using other people's money to invest in hotels around the region. And we made our case. We presented the numbers. We presented the location. And he was and remains very, very interested. And I asked him the direct question, why Montserrat? Mm-hmm. You know, there are bigger locations with more passengers and more airlift. Why Montserrat? And this very hard-nosed developer said, there is an emotional appeal to investing here, which nowhere else offers. It will have to work commercially. Myself and my investors will have to make a return, but being part of the creation of something new from such a troubled history gives us something different, something unique, an emotional appeal, which will attract certain types of investor. We will play on that. We will use that. Despite the very hard-nosed arithmetic of modern investment appraisal and due diligence, there is still an emotional factor that comes into the decision.
But let's get back to the hard numbers. What economic incentives do you give a developer to do it? Tax incentives, etc.
We offer a 15-year corporation tax holiday. We can offer help with work permits, and we can provide customs duty exemptions for imported materials, construction materials, manufacturing materials, and so forth. We have no restrictions on repatriation of profits, so international investors can take their profits back to their... Without being penalized. Mm-hmm. It's a competitive package.
Yeah.
Most Caribbean countries offer the same sort of package. What we're not going to do is start offering additional incentives which drive everyone to the bottom of the pile. Bear in mind, we are looking for credible private sector investment of a certain quality and sensitivity and appropriateness. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go out there and buy it at any cost.
Right.
It has to stack up commercially. It has to meet the standards we want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And the incentives package will help finesse the decision. But we're not going to be leading on how much free money we can give people.
Right.
We're leading on the unique, exciting opportunity that Montserrat offers to do a new type of business.
It is interesting and it is unique. We talked about earlier. I mean, can you think of another destination that's basically rebirthing and reinventing itself, that's incredibly situated in an environmentally, stunningly beautiful area, rainforest, jungle, beautiful?
Short answer, no.
Yeah.
I've worked in international development for many years, many different countries. I've never seen a location that offers this unique opportunity.
How does the tax structure work on the island for, say, property ownership?
You pay the normal land and property rates.
I know it goes without saying that this is not a carte blanche back to the infrastructure development of a resort. You're not going to allow them to dictate and decide arbitrarily design criterion and whatnot.
We can't do that. We've seen too many piecemeal developments in other islands in the region where, for the sake of getting something to happen, and I can understand the pressure for that, developers and architects have put up a mixed match of, you know, unattractive, inconsistent properties. So what we have done is put together a master plan which not only determines what happens in each site, but also sets the standards for building design and for density. So we hired a very eminent regional architect, Lane Pettigrew, who's got experience in this type of work all across the region. And Lane defined for us the building standards and designs that we have adopted in the master plan. Nothing more than three stories, all in the Caribbean vernacular, but with a modern twist. You know, we're not going to be pastiche about it, but with consistent style all the way through, with the maximum possible use of local materials, the best possible environmental standards. And we will expect developers to adhere to those standards. And we know we're not going to chase substandard development just for quick wins. Mm-hmm. Now, equally, developers, investors will have their own standards, their own views of what's going to work. So that'll be a subject of discussion. We don't expect the final build-out of the new town to look exactly like the computer graphics that we have now. That would be commercially unrealistic. But they will be similar, they will be of the same standard, they will be consistent. You will come to Little Bay and see a well-integrated, well-designed, well-maintained community. You will not see a collection of inconsistent, poorly managed, cheaply designed and built properties.
In addition to the anchor hotel or resort, would you envision there being pensions or little B&Bs within the town as well?
We already have those outside the town.
But within the new town?
Within the new town, possibly. There are a couple of sites where we could accommodate smaller hotel developments. We have an architectural development practice in Great Britain who have first option on a hilltop site to build a small, maybe 10-bedroom hotel, combined with an ecological research centre. So it would attract scientists, researchers, students to a small, relatively low-cost hotel. They bought into the principles of the master plan, so it'll be well designed. But yes, there are spaces on the site for that sort of development. We also have to have a mind to the rest of the island, and we don't want everything to be driven just into Little Bay. So elsewhere on the island, we already have guest houses, small hotels, bed and breakfast. We will support the operators of those to improve what they've got. But we also have sites where new small eco-hotels, bed and breakfast operations can be located so that visitors have the option. Not everyone will want to be in this, albeit small, well-designed, pretty new town. They might want to be further out. They might want to be right into the rainforest. And we need to allocate space and provide incentives for that to happen as well.
Right now, what is the bed count on the island, roughly?
It is no more than around 100 to 150. There's also the option, of course, to rent a villa. And that gives additional bed space, particularly for the longer stay visitor.
And I imagine for families, that's really an ideal target.
It's ideal. Most of them are in good condition, they have a pool, they have a garden, a family holiday or a group holiday, it's ideal. We intend to restore population, probably to around the 10,000 mark, but we really need to attract private sector investment to make all of this happen.
Right.
So our plans for the new port, the new marina, the new capital town, the hotel, retail and commercial development have to be driven by private investment. And our key job here at the Development Corporation is to go out and find that and create the infrastructure, the marketing, the promotion, the energy out in the marketplace, the new perceptions of Montserrat, which we need to create, all of that to get us back onto the global economic map.
Join David Crichton and I on the waterfront at Little Bay's Marine Center as he talks about the present and future vision for the Maritime Center.
They're immediately adjacent to the existing jetty and the immigration hall, which we also build incidentally. And the reason we did this was to show what was possible in terms of design standards, in terms of diversity of use. This is what we want to achieve for the whole Little Bay site. It's consistent design, it mixes the traditional and the modern. It's going to provide leisure, recreational space for visitors and residents, because you know, we're really desperate to ensure that local people feel it's for them as well. So on the immediate left we have a dive shop. Next to it is a restaurant. We're standing in front of a wine bar and cafe. And on the other side, there's a sports bar. And it's the opportunity you have when you've got a new site, starting afresh. You don't have to work around existing buildings, existing mistakes. You start from scratch. One of the things we've been insistent upon all the way through this journey is that the development at Little Bay is not just for international high rollers. It has to be for local businesses and local people as well. So all the facilities we're building are just as open to locals as they are to visitors. But this particular row of premises is, I think, a really good demonstration of that. This development is as much about local entrepreneurs, local jobs, local business people, as it is about attracting international visitors in. And what it now means is that we have a little cluster of social, recreational, retail facilities, which is the first thing people see when they arrive on the island now, which gives local people a venue for liming on a Friday night, and which gives visitors a real sense of being on this beautiful little island. It's a mixture of new and old coming together, local and international coming together. It's exactly the sort of philosophy that we're trying to make sure we follow for the whole development.
Now let's join Ivan Brown, Chief Executive, Montserrat Development Corporation. As we're talking, there are bulldozers and graders and earth movers who are building the foundation of a new town.
Yes, exactly. The only real land available to government is in the north of the island, in the Little Bay, Cowes Bay area, which is what Montserrat Development Corporation is charged with, building a new capital town in that area.
That's fascinating. From the ground up, and here we are, you and I today, looking at dirt, months from now will be the beginnings of a city, of a town.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got the Social Security building is already in place. The cultural center through Sir George Martin is in place. We're presently building the sports center, as you may have seen.
I saw that they're just setting the rebar right now.
Yes, that is for the first time in over 20 years, we hope to host the Leeward Islands basketball tournament in December. Mm-hmm. So that's our target date for getting the sports center up and finished. We've just done Marine Village, which is four bars and restaurants in the Little Bay area, for which we've just been awarded an award from International Property Association, and we'll be going up to LA to pick up that award in September.
Tell us about your economic development initiative. You are very avidly looking for people who are motivated to invest here.
We are. We have a number of various projects. We have the hotels, the condos, the villas. We have waterfront property. that is available for investment. And we're looking for people who want to invest and be part of history, as it were. As you said, you know, you're not going to get the opportunity too often to say that I helped build, rebuild the capital of a particular island.
And as we talked about this morning, that rare opportunity to, it's tabula rasa. It's creating the painting, deciding how you're going to do it, the level and quality and concerns, like we talked about, on ways to not have crime develop like happens in some tourist towns.
I mean, the master plan that we have came out as a result of a charrette where we called together architects and hoteliers from across the region and anybody from Montreal who wanted to take part. They came together, they looked at the original master plan and said, okay, where does this not work? Where can we improve it? Came up with a totally new master plan. Then we gave the public consultation of 90 days. The law required 60, but we gave 90. We actually went out to the various villages and showed them this is what the plan is. We had it up in the hospital. We had it in the banks. This is the plan. If you have anything to say, come and let us know. So everybody signed off on that plan, and that's the plan that we are working to now.
So a true consensus of the islanders.
Yes. Definitely, yes.
Tell us about some of the incentives that you have in place for people who would be interested in being involved in development.
Along with government, we have the normal incentives like up to 10 to 15 years where if you're building the hotel, for example, you'll get duty-free importation of the stuff you need to build the hotel. You'll be exempt from taxes for a period that you'll negotiate with government. We've created a one-stop shop, so it's essentially you come to MDC, you tell us what you want, we then go to government and negotiate on your behalf. So you don't have to be going around to the various government departments.
Right. One-stop shopping.
Yes. But certainly, you know, we think we look at what our peers in the other islands are doing in terms of incentives to try and make sure that we're always there in the market.
Competitive edge.
Yes. Yeah. As we were talking earlier, it's a little difficult to get investment. The traditional sources are not there. We accompanied the premier on a trip to Dubai, and we're about to go to China because, you know, they have the money. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that we can interest them in taking part in this new adventure of creating something, you know, a new capital.
Right now it's 2014. In 2 years, what will it look like? How different will it be?
Well, I think if you came back in 2 years, you would see certainly Block A, which is three-story blocks in the town. We're hoping you would see, you know, like a modern supermarket and something like that along the main road. You'd certainly see the sports center. We're raising the hotel site to 4 meters above sea level because the climate change people have told us that that's what we need to avoid flooding over the next 100 years. So I'm hoping within 2 years we'd have somebody starting work on that. But certainly something would be coming vertically out of the ground in the capital town area.
Anything else that you want to talk about or share with in your economic initiative in attracting investors and people? Maybe we want to talk for a moment about real estate. Just say somebody wants to buy a villa or a second home or retirement home. Is that something that you're marketing as well?
We're marketing along with the real estate agents. Montreal has had a history of having a lot of residential tourism from way back in the mid-60s. And we have a lot of villas here now. We're now starting to see for the first time in years people actually building new ones. It is relatively easy to buy a home on Montserrat. We've just had our first Chinese investor purchase a home on the island. It's always been a welcoming island. We have people from the US, from Canada, from the UK. We have people from South America investing here. And as I said, the first Chinese investor. It's an island that welcomes people.
Relative to a lot of the Caribbean, very affordable villas.
Yeah. And the thing is, what happened was, that I said, they were there in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. The owners now are getting on at advanced in age. Their children may not want to come and live in Montserrat at this stage. So you can actually come and find some good bargains. They may need a little work on them, but you can actually get, you know, with beautiful views of the old golf course or the sea, for, as you say, relatively inexpensive compared to the other islands.
I saw some listings yesterday, $150,000 US, $180,000 for a house, not a condo.
Yeah. And there's been a four-bedroom one. There's $190,000 US. So the bargains are there.
That's a real doable second home, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Now let's join Carol Osborne at the historic and legendary Old Eston House. You and I talked this afternoon about those who want or need an all-inclusive resort with all the amenities.
Right.
So, really is a different world.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
And so the beauty is here that you can get away from that sandals world or, you know, that corporate all-inclusive, but yet give them everything they need, like your restaurant right here.
Yes. The government also is very, very keen on building a small marina. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, would also attract a different type of clientele, right, but one that would be as sensitive.
We're talking about a marina, e.g., the cruise industry.
Oh.
And you don't want, you know, the big cruise ships at all, but yet you want those eco-explorer vessels.
Yes. That's like Sea Cloud.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Would be fabulous. And Lindblad. Yes. Expeditions. Oh, perfect. Yeah. And the people would be, we've already seen it. The people are absolutely thrilled with Montserrat mm-hmm. when they come off for the day.
It's like you said, the people that are coming now, they seek you out, and so they have no surprises. They know what they're going to get.
Right.
And that's, I've been on the small eco cruises, and it's like you said, there are people that are interested in biology, natural sciences. You know, they're curious
right.
and
That's
sensitive,
right.
not a party.
Very well-traveled.
Yes.
And those, they really appreciate it when they find something like Montserrat.
A bunch of cucumbers just to keep herself cool. Chiquita Vergara down in Martinique.
My name is Ruben T. Mead. I'm the Premier of Montserrat, also the Minister with responsibility for economic development, finance, tourism, and a whole range of other such nice things. From the local standpoint, what we have seen since 2009 is a consolidation of the growth and the rebuilding of Montserrat. We're trying to get rid of all of the temporary structures, all of the temporary things. So you'd find new buildings going up at government quarters. The Little Bay Town Center development is taking shape to include a rather expensive port development, which we are committed to finding the resources to do, working along with the private sector, and getting people like Ivan and those guys to drive that process forward. The people, we're seeing a transformation in the people as well, where people are not looking to government as much for handouts, but quite a number of them are recognizing if they are going to develop this country, they also have to put their resources into the development of the country and also work hard and show the commitment towards the rebuilding process.
And how about the local initiative for local business development?
Now we're seeing quite a bit of local business development. We had a building which we call the market, which was just there as a market center. We've converted the major part of that into small business development. We now have 9 businesses operating within that complex, all local businesses. The volcano provides us with sand and aggregate, natural sand. And a natural aggregate. We're seeing increasing numbers of badges going out. Some weeks you're having 5-6 badges going out per week. That's again export production, so you're getting foreign exchange coming in.
What's the prognosis for a new larger ferry?
We are at the point of agreement to go to tender for that new ferry.
Okay.
So it will be a purpose-built ferry looking at small cargo handling capabilities. Mm-hmm. But the other one in terms of local investment and local initiatives is that this government focuses a lot of attention on ICTs.
Which is?
Electronic media, paperless society. So you're now looking, for example, at our cabinet, where we're looking at laws and the development of laws. All of those documents are handled electronically. If there's no Wi-Fi and there's no power, we cannot have cabinet. The other element which we have, which is also first for the Caribbean, is that our visa program is online. So a visitor wishing to come to Montserrat and is coming from a country where they require a visa, they go online and they'll have a visa in 24 hours.
Let's talk about employment opportunities and your vision for the people themselves.
The employment opportunities currently focus principally on government services and construction. Mm-hmm. There's limited manufacturing, which we're looking at enhancing. But we're looking now at the service sector. We're looking at a 5 to 6 star hotel in the Little Bay area with about 150 keys. Well, 150 rooms, let's mm-hmm. call it that. So therefore, you'll have employment generated in that element of the service sector. We're looking at the Little Bay Town Center development, which are 3-floor buildings, the top floor being accommodation and residences, middle floor, both residence and business, and the bottom floor, business. Once those are up and running, then you're looking at service sector employment also being created in that area. We're currently training, I think, about 6 youngsters in the repair of computers. This week they are starting to harvest those, collating them, putting them on spreadsheets so that government knows precisely what it has. They'll then take them away to their workshop, and then they'll look at, one, can these be fixed? If they can be fixed, what are the parts that are required? Those youngsters will then be trained to do that assessment and repair.
Any other examples? That's a great one.
There are a raft of examples. We have a HYPE program, which is helping young people into the workplace. It's a six-month program where they are assigned to a business or government agency. The new look which we have going forward is not to have it 100% employment, where they're assigned to an employment agency. Let's take, for example, greenhouse agriculture, small crop. You're also looking at chickens, eggs. What we can do is get maybe six of those youngsters together, form a business. The monies which we would have been paying them in wages for the six-month period, we capitalize all of that and provide it for them to go out and be able to produce and help themselves. In that way, you're building the private sector, building small business, and it also means that they are now no longer seekers of employment, but they're creating employment for themselves. That, again, is one of those areas which we are focusing a lot of attention on.
That's brilliant. That's great.
We have to now empower youngsters. They are the future. Mm-hmm. So we have to get them involved in the areas of their interest. Some of them are getting involved in technology. For example, the youngsters who are being trained to fix the computers. Some of them are getting involved in music and the internet. So it's a range of possibilities. The MDC, working along with the high school, got involved with a young enterprise project. You had four fabulous presentations. But what we now need to do is look at how we can get those youngsters to take that out of the school environment and create business activity and business ventures for themselves.
And that's happening right now?
That's happening currently. Mm-hmm. The other initiative which we are working on and which should be rolled out by September is that persons who are on welfare and are capable of still working, not necessarily an 8-to-4 job or 8-hour job, but can do 2 hours a day or 1 hour a day, is that we'll give them an additional allowance if they turn up for work. For example, cleaning the drains, picking up garbage on the side of the street, beautifying the island. They are not just seeing themselves sitting at home waiting to die, but continue to being productive members of the society, which may actually mean that they live longer. They're getting something, but we're also getting something back.
And so it's an economic incentive?
It's an economic incentive to them. The other thing, quite a number of them are very good at making sugar cakes, condiments, guava cheese, guava jelly, cassava bread and so forth, which are good tourism exports. So what we try to do is to get them into one unit. The youngsters can provide the raw materials to them, and they can use their own experience both to train youngsters to make these and also be able to make them, which we can then package very nicely for visitors coming to the island. The other element is that because they're lightweight products and they have long shelf life, what we can do is have electronic purchasing so people can go online. So we can have a distribution center in New York, one could be in London, and it's easy for them to just put it in the mail and do overnight shipping as well. So it creates a small enterprise, but it also creates the export market using the technology that's available.
It's just absolutely brilliant what you're talking about, because that is the essence of the survival and perseverance of a local economy and not getting into brain drain.
Part of what happens, if one was to look at the tourism industry in most of the Caribbean territories, pretty much everything that the tourist wants is imported. So you go into a hotel, the meals are principally imported products from the United States. So what we're trying to do, once we're getting into ramping up our numbers in terms of tourism development, then we want to be able to have our farmers and our local suppliers supplying more of that product. We're building an abattoir facility. The building is being erected. The equipment is on order. So we would expect our meat now to be certified. In the United States, for example, you talk about range-fed beef. In Montserrat, it's naturally range-fed. So you're getting a very high quality that has very limited chemical input into the meat, but it is certified to be of an acceptable international quality.
Right.
And therefore, that means your hotels and your restaurants will then be in a position to use certified meat, both beef, pork, chicken, and fish. So once we have that, it means you're not only servicing your local market, but you can service the regional markets as well, because Antigua, St. Kitts, Nevis, and all of those are part of a single economic space. So once it's certified as being produced here, there are no import duties or tariffs on that product in any OEC state.
What are you most proud of the island?
Montserrat is still one of those islands where, and I have to be very careful, let me use Ivan. You might very well be able to go to Ivan's house now, open the door and go inside. That is something which too many of us take for granted. You can go into any vehicle and you'll find that you can just open the vehicle door. We say to people, even if you go to heaven, don't leave your wallet and your jewelries out because that's leading to temptation. But people will not break in. They will not open your vehicle and take your stuff out. I'll give an example. During the height of the volcanic situation, some U.S. visitors came here. When they got back home, they realized they left their wallet, all of their money, couldn't find it. They figured they left it at the restaurant. When we asked them which restaurant, we picked up the phone and called, and they said, no, we saw the bag there. Somebody gave it to us, and we have it here. So whoever it is can come back and get it. That's money and credit cards. Somebody during the St. Patrick's Festival last year lost a gold necklace in the pack. And the very next morning on Radio Montserrat, the necklace was being described. So whoever dropped this necklace, could you come to the radio station and pick it up? These are things that we have to be proud of. Because where else in the world are you going to find that happening? So for us and for the visitor, it's the people first. The people are exceptionally friendly. Mm-hmm. We're an honest community. We actually have rental space at our prison, believe it or not, where we actually, and it's not a generally known fact, but we do provide accommodation for prisoners from other territories on a rental basis when there's the need. It's not long-term prisoners, but sure, prisoners who, for one reason or other, must be taken out of their jurisdictions. Those are some of the things that are critically important. The other one that's important, and if we look at the American, the average American will not go anywhere in the world and drink water. You find that Americans who are resident here do not buy bottled water. They're drinking water directly from the tap. So we have an exceptionally good quality water, which we're proud of. The investment opportunities in Montserrat are very good. Government offers full incentives. There are very few restrictions in terms of investments. Always saying to persons, when you come and to live amongst us, behave in the same way that the locals are behaving. Be respectful for one another. And also, let us just keep this country beautiful, clean, and welcoming to one and all.
Thank you so much. What an honor and a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
How you feeling? How you feeling? How you feeling? How you feeling?
To learn more about the magical Isle of Montserrat, log on to investmontserrat.com. That's investmontserrat.com. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning podcast, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, featured weekly on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate station KCBX. The musical intro and out music, Hot Hot Hot, was performed by Monster Ocean, Arrow. The musical bridges and segues throughout the show were performed by the revered Monster Ocean, Ivan B. Brown Sr.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
To learn more about the Hawaiian Reforestation Initiative, call 1-877-707-TREE or visit legacytrees.org.